It's Thursday, April the 21st, and you're tuned in to the 1080 Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. We just missed it, man.
What did we miss?
One day away.
From?
From 420. We missed it.
Oh, we're one day late.
One day late.
Well.
Did you celebrate?
We just got to wait 7 more years.
Oh, shit. 7 more years.
Because isn't that how it works? Like, every year? So, like, this Thursday, next year will be the 22nd, and then 3rd, 4th.
Nope.
Damn.
Because you're forgetting about leap years.
Oh, true. Mm-hmm. True. True.
That's math.
Math sucks.
Math is the best. It's so easy.
It sucks.
You just be like, one finger plus two finger equals five finger.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's how
it
works.
Can you show me a proof for that?
No, I don't need to show you the proof. Because everyone knows in the real world, we only care about the result. We don't know the work.
Yeah, but we got to know how we got there. We need to understand the in-betweens.
I've already told you. Just trust my intelligence.
We need to take a holistic view at this math equation.
I don't think so. Nope. Don't agree. Nope.
Damn. Such a hater.
No.
What are the social implications of 1 plus 1 equals 2? I think we should expand it out, you know, look at it through a social lens.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's coming into my ears and going out the other. Anyways, so this week, wow, you got a lot of stuff in the news. I didn't realize you filled that shit up.
There's a lot of ones that, like, the story adds to the one. So it's like it's three sources, but it's one story type of thing.
Yeah. So. Okay. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't even read it.
Yeah, no worries.
All I know is we did watch an episode of a new anime.
We did. New Wit Studio anime.
We did, which is...
Spy X Family.
That's right. And I remember that you were talking about this for a long time when it was in manga-only form.
Yeah, manga-only form.
Now it's in anime form.
Exactly. 100%.
We watched episode one. What'd you think?
I think... Listen, this is finally a manga recommendation that I've had from before it was an anime where I'm like, wow, they didn't fuck it up. And it's actually good.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Just because I guess maybe I only remember the bad stuff in my head, but the last two of Kengan Asura and what was the other one we did? Blue Period.
Kengan Asura. Which one was that?
That was the 3D Netflix one where it's the companies hire fighters to settle disputes in a fighting tournament.
I don't think I remember that. I don't think I watched that.
Exactly. We watched it. We definitely watched it.
We didn't watch Kengan Asura.
I'm pretty sure we watched it.
Did we?
I think we did. I think we watched like one or two episodes.
Kengan Asura.
Yeah.
That's not the one with the gods.
No. Oh, also that one.
Because I didn't watch
Shumatsu no Valkyrie, 100%. Yeah, that one too. That was also a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, I never watched Asura.
Yeah, and now Spy X Family, Wit Studio, you know, coming out with a banger. They put in the work. They put in the effort. And they've made a... quality product, I feel.
So tell the audience what this show's about.
So Spy X Family.
Puberty over here.
I know, sorry, my bad. Is about a spy named Twilight. He basically works for like East Germany. And this world is like nondescript Europe, and the country is divided into East and West.
Yes.
And the East is a bunch of far right lunatics, and the West is the good guys and whatever. And so our master spy Twilight, he has to infiltrate basically the head of the whole Eastern bloc, and in order to do that, his spy association has told him, all right, you have 1 week. What you need to do is that you need to get a kid, you need to get a wife, and you then need to get that kid enrolled in the same school as this diplomat's kid, so that you can have a one-on-one interaction with the head of the evil regime.
Right.
And so what happens is that Twilight takes the alias of Lloyd Forger and the Forger family. He goes and adopts a little girl named Anya from an orphanage, but it turns out that everyone has their secrets. So Twilight, or in this case Lloyd Forger, is trying to keep a secret from Anya that he's a spy. But what he doesn't know is that Anya has ESP, and she can read people's minds. And she's trying to hide that from her dad, basically, her adoptive dad. And we didn't watch the second episode, but in the second episode, he gets a wife. And the wife is actually a world-renowned assassin who she's trying to keep that secret from her kid and the husband. And like it starts like hilarity ensues because it's a comedy, and with everyone trying to keep secrets from each other, it kind of gets them into sticky situations, and then the story goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only told you about it before. So yeah. What did you think about Wit Studios' adaptation of Spy X Family?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Thought it was good. Yeah. It was good.
It was good. Like, I don't know if I say it's amazing.
Is this your type of show?
I feel like it's something I could watch. Mm-hmm. I think I could see myself watching this. I don't know if it's because like maybe today I'm just tired. But it just felt like, wow, I just, like, this show is every anime trope we make fun of.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, the exposition for some of this stuff just comes at you like a train.
Dude, this episode, they mow through tons of chapters of the manga. Like.
And then, they're like, there's one example with the dad where it's like, oh, I know why I feel this way. Flashback! And yeah. It's like, oh my god. This is hella anime. It's like, geez, okay, I get it. You're an anime.
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, I think it's fun. It was cute. I can see the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those shows, though, if I weren't already... if I didn't have already such a huge backlog, I'd probably watch this.
Okay.
But because, like, my backlog of shows that I want to watch is so big, I probably won't be getting to this anytime soon.
Dude, you gotta finish Tact OP Destiny.
Oh yeah, I gotta finish that. I gotta finish that.
They just added another one to your backlog.
Yeah, I gotta do that. Yeah, so I don't know, but it's cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't think there's anything wrong with the show. I think it's pretty good. It's fun, and I can see how hilarity would ensue.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I'll say about the manga definitely is that it's like you said, it's like here's like a bunch of anime tropes thrown into a pile, but even in the manga, like, they do all of it, in my opinion, like, so well that it's, like, easy to forgive that, like, that they are borrowing from, like, anime tropes left and right.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's just, I don't know, because, like, the anime comedies I like, I think they have, like, just a slightly different vibe than this.
Okay.
And I don't know how to explain it, but... Because, like, what's that show I really like with Chika dancing? Do you remember that's called?
Oh, Kaguya-sama, Love is War.
Yeah, Love is Blind. Like, I like...
Love is War. Love is Blind is the Netflix
reality TV show. Oh, yeah, that masterpiece. That masterpiece, yeah.
Unless we're talking about Indian Matchmaker.
Yes, we are.
Are we? Okay. Yeah. Well, next week, review of all the seasons of Indian Matchmaker.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. But, no, I think this show's cool. I think it has definitely lots of potential. I think it could be great.
And I know it is.
Sure.
Because I've read the manga.
You've done it?
Well, I'm caught up.
Oh.
It's not over. It's a monthly release. Jeez. So there'll be one season, and I'm sure we won't see another season for a while.
Yeah, probably. That's how these things work. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Neato.
I recommend it.
You recommend it?
It's finally a manga recommendation that turned into an anime that I recommend.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got one. One in the bag.
Is that one? Jeez.
We got one.
That's it, eh? Just the one?
I think I had some others, probably. I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I'm a connoisseur of taste.
Was Demon Slayer manga or anime first?
I think it was anime first, but no, sorry, manga first, but I didn't read it until I saw the first season of the anime. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. Same with Attack on Titan, right? That was a manga first.
Yep. And then what was the other one I did? Oh, Tokyo Revengers. But I didn't start reading that until I think the first season of the anime came out.
Yeah. And Jujutsu Kaisen was manga first.
Yeah. Same thing. Watch the anime.
Yeah. So there were some good ones. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I discovered those mangas separately. Right, I after the anime came out. So I watched a good anime, and then I went to go read the manga.
Oh, you're saying...
But now I'm on the cutting edge, baby. Oh, I'm ahead of the curve.
I didn't realize that mattered.
Of course it matters, all right? Okay. How are we going to get those YouTube clicks if we're not ahead of the game? We're tastemakers.
Speak for yourself.
Influencers.
I'm not influencing anybody.
Dude, you influence people all the time. We still get YouTube comments of... Yo, when you coming back to the toy game?
I'm not. Actually, it's funny. Someone tagged me on Instagram. I thought it was just like another person trying to get my name, but it was some Gundam. Not Gundam. No, just some mecha photographer.
Okay.
They're like, I've been wanting this toy for like 8 years.
Okay.
And they're like, special shout out to you, Vince. I'm like, what is this? What the fuck is this shit?
What is this?
I'm like, oh, he linked a video review from like 8 years ago, which I'm assuming he must have been like a child.
That's hilarious.
Right? And now he's an adult with money, and he's bought the toy.
Dude, you're influencing.
And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Good for you, buddy.
He could have been an all-star quarterback, all right?
Could have
been. But now he's buying Gundams.
Yeah, no, I think actually it was the Full Metal Panic Arbalest.
See, even the bad
What are you talking about?
Arbo's even the bad robots.
Everyone loves Full Metal Panic.
It's not Fufumafu. I don't care.
No one cares about Fufumafu.
Dude, Fufumafu is the superior Full Metal Panic. Nah. Because it's the only one I've watched.
I know. Anyways, that's it. Spy X Family is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Moving to some picks. How about I kick it off?
Yeah, do yours.
Whew. And you know what I love?
Oh, swear to God, if you say Overwatch.
That's later.
Okay.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are pretty sick. All right, I'm with you on this one.
I love dinosaurs. I don't know how much I talk about it here on the show. I can't remember.
Never.
But I like to watch animal documentaries and wildlife documentaries, right? Especially love dinosaur stuff. But dinosaur content is hard to come by because, let's face it,
dinosaurs are for nerds.
Dinosaurs don't exist.
What?
Like, in modern time, you can't
chickens, birds.
I mean, you would say I would say crocodiles. Crocodiles. Sure. But, like, you can't go out and be like, oh, let's go film the T-Rex. Like, you can't do that.
That's a good, like, you should talk to your girl and be like, let's go film dinosaurs and then go, like, bird watching.
Yeah. Like, you can't do that, right? So, I remember when I was a kid, there was this documentary called Walking with Dinosaurs. Fucking loved it. Watched it a million times. We finally got a spiritual successor to that, or sequel. Mm-hmm. It's called Prehistoric Planet. Jon Favreau is the director. David Attenborough is
the executive producer.
Oh, it's the producer. Attenborough is the narrator, mm-hmm. the god, or the goat. And it's on Apple TV Plus. I don't know.
It's done by the people who did Planet Earth as well.
Yeah, and check out the trailer. If you like dinosaurs, like, at all, mm-hmm. looks wicked. I guess this is what they did with Unreal Engine 5 because it looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty nice.
Like
it and everything is CG. Yeah. Absolutely
everything. I think it's wild, though, that because obviously there's a lot of, how can I put it? It's tough to be like, yeah, I can't wait to watch this educational documentary, because the truth is, with dinosaurs, we only know so much, and only technology can only allow us to understand fossils to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So half the behaviors and half of what you're seeing is really just a snapshot in time of what science can produce.
Yeah, it's like guesstimations.
Right? So, because obviously, like, I don't know about you, but, like, I've never seen such feathery dinosaurs.
Yeah, you know, I hate that discovery. I think science went too far.
Like, I know that
as soon as they were like, actually, dinosaurs had a lot of feathers and they were birds. Like, shut the fuck up, all right? I don't care. I want my big ass lizard.
Like, I know that, like, this discovery was made like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's still so wild to see it. And I know that, like, even going back to the days of Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World,
yeah.
It was like, no, these are not what dinosaurs look like.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors are not that big, and the T-Rex actually has really strong arms, despite its size. But, yeah, no, so I'm
very... Were there strong arms relative to its size?
Sure. Or just strong... I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it looks cool. I can't wait to watch Dinosaurs. Five-night docuseries event. That's a whole week.
Dude, that's like Shark Week.
And only better. Only better. Dinosaurs.
Are sharks dinosaurs?
They lived at the time of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. But were they bigger?
Much bigger.
Okay.
They were much bigger. Apparently, like, sharks back then were the size of whales.
Nice.
Could you imagine that coming into the ocean?
Like a carnivorous animal the size of a whale?
Yeah.
Like, hot,
that's
damn.
Terrifying.
That's sick.
The land of the dinosaurs is scary. Well, scary stuff.
It's a good thing no humans lived, or, like, other than, like, monkey descendants, I guess.
I don't think those are around yet.
Yeah, yeah, true. They got hit by the meteor and then everything died.
Yeah, yeah. True. Or so we think.
Dude, that's what they want you
that's
to think.
That's what they want you
Dude,
to
have
think,
have you ever
man.
Been to Area 51? They won't Dude. Let anybody in there.
You know what really happened with dinosaurs?
What happened?
Don't tell anybody.
All right, I'll keep it on the DL.
COVID.
COVID happened?
COVID
it's like the second Ice Age, but the second COVID.
COVID happened, man. They didn't get their vax.
They didn't have the masks on.
No, they didn't. They didn't get
jabbed. They weren't socially distancing.
No, they were not.
Ah, damn.
They were not.
How far we've come.
Okay, pop quiz. Is a brontosaurus a real dinosaur?
Brontosaurus? I don't even know what to visualize with that name.
All right.
So I'm going to say no.
It was a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
And you were wrong.
What? What's a brontosaurus?
Long neck.
Oh, is that long
neck? Yeah,
see,
yeah.
You should have said long neck.
No, I had to give you the actual name.
That's lame.
All right. Anyways, here we go. Next pick. Everyone's going to love it. Thor, Love and Thunder. The trailer came out.
I did not think that this movie was going to be...
Awesome.
Thor goes to find himself on a European road trip.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's exactly what this movie is.
He does, and he's confronted with his past or the symbolism of what he used to be. Oh, man. Down to the hammer and everything. His past literally comes to confront him.
This really is like rich kid goes on a sick vacation, the movie.
I mean, yes and no. I think we have to remember that Thor probably faced the most sacrifice out of all the Avengers.
What? My whole planet died. What a pussy. Get over it.
I would say his parents, but okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, so it looks cool. It looks rad. It looks like it picks up where Ragnarok left off and is like, we heard you like this vibe. Come mm-hmm. check it out some mm-hmm. more.
It seems like they kind of leaned into the Guardians more. And the Guardians show up in this trailer, so that makes sense.
Yeah. So do you think this movie looks exciting to you? Are you into it? Like,
if we plan a time to all go see it, I will go see it. But will I go see it by myself? Probably not.
Okay.
Will I see it, you know, when it hits streaming or something? Maybe. But I don't know. I think it looks better than most, I guess.
Better than most? Do you think this is better than the original Thor movies? Do you think, are you more, does this draw you in more than the original Thor
the
movies?
The further I get away from the original Thor movies, yeah. especially the first two, the more I hate them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Most definitely.
Because there is this weird contingent of people who are coming up and being like, ugh, why can't they just tell a story about Norse mythology?
Bro.
Like, fuck, why they gotta ruin Thor like this? And like that's literally
and those 11-year-olds weren't born when this
and
movie
like
came.
I'm like, oh fuck, we really have gotten to the point of saturation now where like the Marvel universe is not just this is cool shit, we're happy to see it on the screen.
Yeah.
Now it's like, fuck, I'm old enough to remember when Thor and Iron Man were still like cool. Shit like that. But I don't know. I think it's weird because the first two Thor movies, I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably one of the few who actually, especially the second one, Dark World. I know people fucking hate that shit, but
I don't remember liking it that much.
I liked it a lot. Anyways.
But also, I'm the guy who doesn't like I think I like Iron Man 1 like the least out of all the Iron Man movies.
God, that was like the best one.
Yeah. So.
Jeez. Anyways, yeah, so like I really like those Thor movies. I know that they're not perfect, but I know they were generally panned and people hated them, so that's why they changed the direction of this character, right?
I think. Yeah, but now we're so far removed from that first movie to where a new audience has appeared.
Is it a new audience or is it the same audience being like, yo, now he's not my Thor, you know? And like,
you know what? It's I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I don't even think it's the people who are complaining, I don't think they've ever seen a Thor movie.
Oh,
I think they're on there just to complain.
I thought you were going to bring it out to someone else, but okay.
What, to who?
I thought you'd be like, I think they're just mad because Thor's a girl now.
Oh, no. I think that would be a huge bonus for that movie. I think that's the, if you want to appeal to the masses now, yeah, make Thor a lady for sure.
Do you think that appeals to the masses?
Yeah, I think that the culture zeitgeist is in for the...
I don't know.
Female empowerment, domination.
I still think that there's enough of the world to be like, this is wrong. Not that I carry that opinion, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
like,
sure. Okay, we'll axe out Saudi Arabia. Oh, wow. You know, we'll axe out China.
I'm in the general populace of people watching these movies.
Okay, yeah. I think that if you're still watching superhero movies at this point, you're pretty liberal and you would be pretty excited to see a...
Yeah.
Female, I guess, superhero that's not annoying and obnoxious like Captain Marvel was.
Sure. I mean, like, at this point, we got to keep moving on because the MCU, as we know it, is done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep moving on.
I kind of think these are still like the death throes.
What do you mean?
Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, this is like the beginning of the end. Like, everything's kind of dying down, maybe. But
I see what you're saying.
And so they're just chucking ideas, hoping for the best. And that's kind of like where the most interesting stuff comes from, out of desperation. So yeah, maybe this will be awesome. But I don't know. I think I'm just more interested in seeing the Doctor Strange movie as it deals with all the cosmic shit.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Well, that's Thor. Love and Thunder. Looks neat. Jane Foster's back. She's got
So that's
hammer.
Her?
Yeah. You didn't see her on the screen?
Oh, I saw her. I saw a lady in a mask.
Yeah, it's Natalie Portman.
Okay, I didn't know it was Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's back. Right. She's back.
Nice.
Okay, next up, Formula One 2022, the game, has been announced actually today. Comes on July 1st.
Yeah, but what's in the game, Vince?
Sports.
Sports?
Sports.
What kind? Who's sports?
EA Sports.
It's in the game.
Yeah, so I forgot that last year, EA acquired Codemasters.
Yeah.
And so this is the first game that is fully under the EA umbrella. How that changes the franchise, I'm not too sure, but I mean, in the real world of Formula One, there's a big rule shift and change. So I guess this is the year where they're going to change everything. New cars, new physics model, first game made for the next gen or the current gen systems. This is also the first Formula One game to support VR. So that's interesting. Hits shelves July 1st. I'm pretty pumped.
So Codemasters is, I think, by anybody's metric, is like the premier sim racing people, right?
In terms of, wait, sim racing?
I get, like, I don't know, like, what you, all you hardcore kids, like, what the difference is, but, like, when I play Codemasters games, like, they're not easy. Like, Dirt Rally is a hard fucking game. Seems pretty sim.
I guess they're, like, the big name, I would say, racing game studio, yeah. Okay. Like, real world racing, yeah, they're the ones. But they have a large category and catalog of titles.
Mm-hmm. And so you would hope that EA would see that and then just be like, we're just going to give you more money and then you can just do whatever.
Sure. I also imagine
And hopefully they don't meddle too much.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll, you know, have more microtransactions, battle pass the shit up. Right? So it's not...
What if you like... It's okay, think about this, all right? So there's a battle pass, and at the end of it, level 100, all right? Mm-hmm. You get a special, like, visual flare so that when you turn on DRS, flames come out of your wheels.
Nope.
You sure?
Nope.
Just like turbo boost, baby.
Nobody wants that in these games.
Dude, what about...
The audience doesn't want this.
What about a collab with Hot Wheels?
Nope.
And then they make a pure orange...
Nope.
Formula One track with a loop.
No.
Hell yeah.
I'm telling you, the audience doesn't want that.
Okay.
All right. No one wants that.
But do the executives want it?
Nope.
Okay.
They don't even care. They just want money.
What if it makes some money then?
It doesn't. It'll alienate
the audience. You know who loves Hot Wheels? Kids. And you know who has a lot of money? Kids' parents. All right? So you go, Mom, Formula One just dropped the Hot Wheels track. Buy me $5 of track.
Do you know who's not watching Formula One?
Kids.
Kids.
Dude, they're watching Formula One.
No, you know
they love Lewis Hamilton.
Do you know who's watching Formula One?
Tell me.
Soccer moms, because it's on Netflix. They're watching that reality show.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So that's where it's at.
The behind-the-scenes drama DLC.
Yeah, that's what we sure. The one thing they said is they have a new adaptive AI system. Think of it like the Nemesis system.
Okay.
But it's for car AI, so it remembers you. If you're an asshole to them, they'll be an asshole back to you, okay. And they'll carry throughout the season, which is a cool little feature. We'll see. Remains to be seen. And then my last pick is, I'm so excited to be continuing to talk about Overwatch. Overwatch 2, baby. 5 days the beta is coming.
It's not a real game.
5 days the beta is coming.
It's not a real game.
They've shown off some reworks to some characters, mm-hmm. And these reworks prove that this is actually a sequel and not just a bloated, I don't know, balance patch.
It seems like it's a bloated balance patch.
No, they've reworked it. Okay. Man. So first of all, we know that this game has changed from six on six to 5-on-5, and the way they did it was you have one tank and then 2 DPS and 2 healers.
Okay, so the thing I gotta ask you,
yeah,
is that if I still have my Overwatch 1 disc, is that if I play Overwatch 1, is that still 6-on-6, or is everything across the board 5-on-5?
Overwatch 1 is 6-6.
Okay.
Overwatch 2 is 5-5. Yeah, and so what they wanted to do is they wanted to make a direction shift, have one tank, and they wanted to make sure that all they want to remove all CC abilities across all characters,
okay,
and really only give them to the tanks. All
right.
So the tanks have all the CC. First up, Orisa no longer has a shield, no longer can do the gravity pull.
Mm.
She doesn't have supercharger. Instead, they gave her a javelin.
Yeah.
And this javelin can do stuff. It throws. You can throw the javelin.
But you can erase bullets with the javelin.
You can erase bullet. You can erase all damage with the javelin. You can knock people off with the javelin. The javelin is pretty cool. It looks pretty nuts.
Very multi-purpose.
Absolutely. However, she doesn't have a shield, so you can't keep the javelin up to block at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to make her very... You have to be very have a good situational awareness, which I think is fair enough. But as a tank, I'll see how that plays out. We'll see. It's looking like Reinhardt is the only one with a shield.
Nice.
Reinhardt and Sigma. But the bigger surprise is they reworked Doomfist. Classic DPS, absolutely rundown character, is now a tank.
A rundown tank.
Like he
or
is,
a peekaboo tank, really.
That's a nightmare scenario.
He's mobile. He's moving in that.
I have never seen a tank move so fast. They gave him double health. They basically cut all his attacks in half in terms of damage. However, they gave him this thing called Power Block, where... He nullifies 90% of damage, but at the same time, builds shields and builds Rocket Punch back up to 2x power.
Yep.
So it changes him into, like, he used to be like hop in, hop out, but now he's hop in, and if he wants to, he can engage.
Yeah.
But he's,
if I get the right setup, yeah, I can just kind of unload.
Yeah, he also has, they changed his Seismic Slam where before it would just like launch you forward and then down, mm-hmm, but now it just launches you in any direction. You just pick.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has super vertical ability now.
They got rid of his uppercut, but yeah, that doesn't matter because yeah, they gave that leap thing. So.
Yeah. So he now has, if you've ever like been like, oh man, I have to play tank, but then you're like, oh, at least I got this mobile DPS monster. That's a Doomfist. I guess the only downside is you don't have a tank, like a traditional tank to
yeah, I soak feel like that would be team, a very offensive
yeah,
type of team comp if you pick mm-hmm a Doomfist tank.
Yeah. Also, a lot of his abilities used to like draw you in mm-hmm to him. Now they just give you slow. So again, he has a lot of CC abilities for slow.
Yeah. But there's like soft CC. There's no displacements yeah, other than the punch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. But yeah, it's interesting to see these changes that they've made. I can't wait to test them out and see what's up. And then to follow up on the previous character, Sojourn, I saw some videos of that girl. What a busted character.
Yeah.
What a busted railgun.
Overtuned?
Maybe. Right. I totally forgot you could power her with Mercy. What a busted character.
Yeah.
Jeez, I can't wait to try that one. I can't wait. That slide into railgun? Oh, my
back
God.
Back at like 1.0,
yeah,
I just remember doing Mercy Reaper, and then when they do their Reaper ult, you just put Power Beam on them and everybody dies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
I assume it'd be like the same thing.
God, I miss the days. I miss like original year one Overwatch. All the dumb shit you could do. Like I miss Beyblade meta. Oh, that was so
all
good.
Tanks.
Yeah, all tanks. Yeah, I miss that. I miss when Ana was a goddamn monster.
Yeah, but that's just because you main her.
Yeah.
So?
All right.
So? All right, it's the same for me, you know? When certain League characters were absolutely busted, and I was like, I love this character. I love that he's busted. And it's like, they nerf him. You're like, you know.
Not so good
anymore. I get it.
But yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to hop back into Overwatch. I'm so excited. I have to download the pre-download thing. But yeah, I think those are my picks.
Okay. I'm going to start off with some Netflix stuff. Netflix is in the news, especially because of their stock earnings. But the thing I'll start with, and the thing that made, I think, the most news for people, is that Netflix is planning to roll out less expensive plans, but they will be supported by advertising. So you will pay for Netflix at a cheaper rate, but you might get some mid-roll ads. You might get some beginning and end ads, some YouTube stuff.
Oh, I don't feel about that.
Right.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
A lot of people don't know how to feel about that. And it came out that there was a Variety article in 2020 where Netflix said that we have no strategic interest in launching a version of a streaming service that includes ads.
Of course not. Right? Why would they ever say that they had an interest in that?
Exactly, because they were on top. But now the whole dynamic is different. And so with this news, ooh, baby, Netflix not in a good place. So the day after, okay, Netflix closed the day with a 35% loss on their stocks, and they wiped off more than $50 billion off their market cap.
Mm-hmm.
This is due to a combination of things. So one was the ad announcement, and two was the fact that they have lost subscribers for the first time in 10 years.
I mean, it had to happen eventually.
Eventually, you know, all good things.
Also, you know what? COVID is, I don't want to say COVID is over, but we're not all 100% stuck at home anymore.
Exactly. And there's so many streaming services now that, welcome to competition, baby. You're not the only guy on the block anymore.
Yeah.
This has caused, which I thought was kind of crazy, on the S&P 500, Netflix is now the worst performing stock of 2020. They're down 62.5% year to date.
Wow.
It's not looking too great. I don't know how I feel about Netflix's idea of an advertisement model, just because it kind of goes in the face of their whole mission since their birth, basically. And they said they're also going to start cracking down on account sharing.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to do that, but they estimate around 100 million people are account sharing, And that's where a lot of their revenue problems, they say, comes from. But
like, what is that even, like, account sharing?
Yeah, 100 million households are sharing their subscriptions and passwords with other family or friends.
Like, what's the limit that they attribute to sharing, right? Because, like, if I'm paying four screens, and I've got four screens active, but they're all not in the same house, then what the hell am I paying that shit for?
That's what they would ask you. If you don't have four screens in your house, don't buy that subscription. Because they would, obviously. Say you bought the two-screen model and you had two screens in your house, and then someone else bought the two-screen model and they had two screens in their house.
Yeah.
That's more money than if you guys bought the four-screen bundle and then you split it, right?
Fair enough.
And so they're saying that's a big factor in how they're losing a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, they set it up that way.
Yeah. So like at that point, whose fault is it? Yeah. Like, it's kind of human nature to exploit things to their maximum value.
Yeah. I mean, so, we're not exactly Japan. We're beholden to our honor.
Yeah, it's the social dude.
I gotta know though, the ad thing. Like, I wouldn't be mad about the ad thing if it meant that there was no monthly fee.
No, so that there will be a monthly fee.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If there was no monthly fee, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah.
But then at that point, if that's what's happening, if you're gonna make me pay and then I have ads, then we're just back to cable and I'm just out again.
Yeah, and so one of the best comments I saw was on a Twitter post was like, we're just slowly reinventing cable.
Yeah, and if that's the case, yeah, I'm out. I'm raising those black flags once more.
And I'm sure there will be a moment in time where maybe a cable company will offer you, here's a bundle you can get where you get all of the streaming services, but it's under like the Bell umbrella or
something.
I think
they do. Right? So. I think Roku does that.
Do they really?
I know when I bought my internet, they gave me Disney Plus, which is one of them, so... Yeah.
So I guess we're coming back to cable, baby. Yeah. After that, we got a couple just like quick announcements. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba announced their season 3, the Swordsmith Village arc.
You know, I know that we like to refer to sections in anime via whatever arc they're in.
Yeah.
I don't like it when that's like the actual title of like the season.
Why?
I don't know.
You don't like Entertainment District arc?
I just think it's so lazy and lame.
Dude, okay. Let me tell you about something about the Japanese language, all right? All you weebs out there, this is a little reality check.
Yeah.
When you hear stuff like the Swordsmith Village arc and blah blah blah, and you hear those, like, you're like, that's so straightforward. It's so boring. Most Japanese things are very literal, straightforward, and boring.
No, I know, but like I just mean like when I think back to watching Dragon Ball, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get Dragon Ball :
The Frieza arc,
okay. Right? I just get Dragon, like, and they just show me season 3. I don't need you to name it for me.
So you'd rather have less information?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, just tell me season 3. Got it. Done. We're good. I'm okay.
All right.
I just feel like, I don't know. I don't like it. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't tell you why I don't like it.
It just irks you in a weird way.
It does. And like, honestly, it's totally fine that it exists that way. Like, it's not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't like it.
Okay. But yeah, that's that. You can go watch the trailer. Most of it's a recap, and they show a little bit of the new animations there. You thought that season 1 couldn't be topped. What was it? Episode 13 something? Whatever the fuck that was?
18.
And then season 2 came out, and they topped it. And now everyone's like, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Like, so
they did top it.
So
topped it twice.
They did. So we'll see. No More Heroes 3. The previous Switch exclusive sequel to No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2 is coming to PC, PlayStation, and Xbox this fall.
So, are you pumping the brakes on No More Heroes 3 for the Switch?
No.
You're going to continue on that platform?
I'm
going to
continue on the Switch.
Really?
Because I like the motion controls.
3 has motion controls?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So, the thing with No More Heroes and what Suda51 has said in a lot of interviews is that game is kind of meant to be played in like a motion control setting. So he always says, like, if you have the Wii version, just play the Wii version.
But
right, and the Switch has waggle controls with their little nunchucks. So,
but PlayStation Move.
So that's what I don't know. So XSEED sent out that tweet, and I replied to the XSEED account and the XSEED post, and I was like, hey, does the PlayStation versions have Move support so I can use motion controls? No answer. So I imagine that it's all controller, because that's what they've added in the No More Heroes remakes and in No More Heroes Paradise for the PS3.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the controller layout is bad. I just think you lose a little something when you're not jerking off your Wiimote to recharge your beam katana because the whole thing's a dick joke, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of lose a little bit of something there. Mm. And I did play, when I replayed through 1 and 2, I did play on motion controls until the drift started being a problem because my Switch remotes have some drift issues. So I switched over to the Pro controller.
Got it.
But if I have the choice, I'd rather be playing in motion controls.
Okay.
But they have these really nice additions that come with the game, a fake like license plate. They got a soundtrack, art book. It seems like a nice little package. And if you don't want to play it on the Switch or you don't have a Switch, it's now coming to everything. So you can check all that stuff out there. Cyberpunk 2077 is done with patches, basically. And I guess they're not going to focus on it as much anymore. They announced as much earlier in the year. Yeah. And they finally announced that their first expansion will come out in 2023. So this came out in an earnings call where they had their 2022 productions plans, where they're talking about stuff like they're going to do some more Gwent stuff. They're going to work on next gen versions of Wild Hunt. There's some unannounced project based on one of their franchises with the Molasses Flood.
Mm-hmm.
New work on a Witcher game in Unreal Engine 5 and then Cyberpunk. So you can look forward to that. I think Cyberpunk's fixed now. At least fixed enough. I still get some glitches and stuff, but it's not unplayable anymore.
Okay.
I would recommend it and kind of want to see what's coming up from there. But speaking of big budget game, though, he knows a lot of money.
Nintendo?
Sure. Sega.
Really?
Oh. No, not really. Sega is apparently developing, quote, big budget, unquote, Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio reboots.
Reboots or remakes?
Reboots. So last year, I had talked about how Sega had created their Super Game Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to develop new innovative titles on their old IPs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we've seen some of it come to fruition. We have the House of the Dead remake. There's Streets of Rage 4.
Wait, that's considered big budget?
No, that's not considered big budget, but it's a part of their plan to revitalize their old IPs.
Okay.
Right? They had a Crazy Taxi mobile game in 2017 I didn't know about.
Yep.
And this one, or this announcement seems more like, okay, here's where we start getting into, maybe not AAA, but we're getting into a bigger budget than just like we outsource some indie guys to make a new game.
Okay.
So we don't know really what's going to happen, but hopefully they don't just up-res Jet Set Radio and we get something new and fresh. And I don't know what you would do with a Crazy Taxi game.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, hearing that it was on mobile, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, like a Crazy Taxi is like the definition of an arcade game.
Yeah, I also don't know how you'd make a big budget Jet Set Radio Future.
Okay, you just do Jet Set Radio Future 2.
No, that's not big budget.
What are you talking about? On the Xbox, that was a big budget game when that came out.
Back then, but today, like, I don't think there's enough meat in that game.
Add more meat. I don't have to tell you.
Nah.
Trick system. I mean, bigger world.
I obviously do not have the
Ubisoft interest makes millions of dollars just
or
making,
intellect for this, yeah, but
they just make millions of dollars just releasing open world empty games.
So. Yeah, but that's their whole shtick.
That's their bread and butter.
Sega's whole game plan has never been give you content.
Okay, well maybe they can steal some shit. I don't know.
Okay.
Right. We'll see what comes. I like Jet Set Radio, so
I know.
Excited about that. And then that was the other thing too. Ubisoft came out with like an announcement too. They were just like, you know what, we've realized that just because something is big doesn't mean it's good. And like the backlash they got was pretty funny. I'm just like, oh, you guys, you think that really? Mm-hmm. You're the guys with go to this cell tower and then reveal more of the map so you could do 17 fetch quests.
What was the context behind this? Why'd they say it?
They said they're changing the way they make games. They're changing the philosophy behind the AAA games that they make. And they're not going to go for the bigger is better if there's no content type stuff.
I mean, Well, it's work. I mean, here's the thing. It's worked for them for the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if now they're seeing it tail off, then sure, change.
Yeah. I guess it would depend on... Do you think, maybe they don't care, but it works for them financially, but do you think it works for them as for the respect of their company? Like, I think everybody just dogs on Ubisoft now anytime they release anything. Or do you even think they care about the image of their brand?
It's tough to say because like there's the enthusiast crowd and then there's a mainstream. And at the end of the day, the mainstream is what fills their bucket.
Yeah, that's why they make Just Dance games every year.
No, that I mean when I say mainstream, I mean like the people buy Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that too.
Right? Like I don't think they're complaining that. I think what you're talking about is like a very focused enthusiast crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we shit on them. I don't think they care. I think at the end of the day, it's like maybe I think if anything, the developers are just tired and bored.
Maybe.
Right? Like things get stagnant and they just need to be disrupted.
Oh, God. I hate it already. I do think that there is like a limit, though, of like how much you can piss off an enthusiast crowd before it like leaks down into the mainstream. And they're like, oh, I heard that a guy who knows a lot about this kind of stuff say it's shit, so I'm not going to buy it. Right.
I mean, yes and no, because that assumes that all the employees give a shit about the company they work for.
Yeah.
Right. And I can guarantee you that like at least half the employees everywhere are just like, I'm here for the paycheck.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care if you talk shit about where I work. They pay me the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So.
Yeah, I guess. But the last one I had was some more China news. So was it last week or 2 weeks ago? We were talking about how China had lifted their 9-month ban on making new games.
I think so.
Yeah, and they had like 40-something games that were like state-approved.
Fucking, oh yeah, state-approved China
games. State-approved Chinese games, baby.
Nightmare.
Just when you thought they were opening up, they close it back down.
Good.
So Reuters is reporting that China has now banned the live streaming or broadcasting of any non-approved government games.
Okay.
So they said that this is because they should be live streamers should resist abnormal aesthetics that could harbor harmful celebrity fan culture. For a period of time, issues such as chaotic online streaming and teenage addiction to games has raised widespread concerns in society, and effective measures will be taken urgently, a regulator said on his website. So yeah, not only are they banning games being made and only state approved games can be made there, now you can only play, consume, watch state approved video game.
That's good.
I guess I don't know what games this entails. There wasn't really kind of like a list, I guess, that I could find of just like what counts, because like, man, you know who makes a lot of money for China? League of Legends.
Yeah.
Right. So, but if that's not on the list, then who knows? And that's like one of the most addictive games there is out there right now.
Mm.
So it really depends. That game alone goes against like all the things they're trying to stop, right? Like celebrity worship and like addiction and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
We'll see. And then Tencent, in light of this news, has started cutting off Chinese gamers from foreign games. So what this means is that Tencent used to have this like, it was like an acceleration service. So they would have like in between servers basically to help your connection in China reach other like online servers so that you could play at a good latency with other people. Right, maybe just across Asia or wherever. But now the Chinese government is like, can't broadcast that stuff. Tencent's like, okay, yes, dear. We're going to stop helping people
make
new games. So they have kind of shut off those, I guess, avenues for you to get better internet to outside of China or even across China. And we'll see how that goes.
Interesting.
This now makes a lot of sense in why companies like Tencent are buying like minor shares in like every video game development studio you can possibly imagine. I think a couple indie studios in Canada got Tencent funding and they bought shares of the company and stuff. They're really desperately trying to diversify while the government is just like, lock it all down, baby. But it's another layer on top of that, and it's a very interesting story to follow, I feel.
Yeah. I do wonder what like, I wish I could just jump like 10 years into the future and see how China's kids turned out compared to kids here.
Yeah.
See if their gamble paid off for them.
If like the hedonistic lifestyle is
yeah.
No bueno. I'm sure.
No bueno or actually better.
Well, no, the hedonism would be in the West. Like, it'd be bad.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, or maybe it was always good to be this way.
It's one of those things where I think you'll foster a certain type of person. So I was reading an article this week, and it was about the differences in math performance in people in Asia and kids in North America.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to come down with how you perceive math. So kids in the West, they perceive math as a function of talent, right? So either I look at this and I get it, and if I don't get it, I can't do it. I'm just not good at math. I'll go do something else. Whereas in the East, math is anybody can do it. You just got to grind. You got to put in the time.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to make sense in that. And like that statement alone can be the key factor of why Asia dominates math scores across the world.
Okay.
Right? And so I imagine they would foster a very, I guess, maybe logical mind with this kind of stuff if they clamp down on artistic endeavors or artistic endeavors they deem unworthy. Like I imagine it would be a more conservative community that you would foster, because like unfeathered art here has like made the West like insanely liberal and free spirit, and you can do whatever you want, and whether you think that's good or bad, I guess it depends. So
we'll see.
Who knows? It's a gamble. We'll roll the dice.
Yeah,
but those are my picks.
Cool.
Those are my picks.
Those cool things. So I did a lot of video games this week.
Did you? Because
I did.
Are you sure?
All my content is video game related.
It's not a video
game. Oh, it is video game
related. Guys. It's video game adjacent.
Nah, it's video games.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Sonic the Hedgehog?
I have heard of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I consumed Sonic the Hedgehog.
In what way? And how?
Visual media? I watched the 2020 movie Sonic the Hedgehog.
Damn.
That ain't a bad film.
Is it not?
That is like Deadpool for kids.
Really?
Yeah. It is so weird hearing Sonic make all the pop culture references. Like, he references, I think, Game of Thrones.
Really?
Like, Marvel, DC, Star Wars. He literally calls out Obi-Wan. And, like, he fucking references Heat. Like, it is wild.
What an odd movie. What?
Yeah. He's very like, he's got ADHD basically.
Yeah.
Like Sonic is unreal in this movie.
You would hope so. He's a fast boy. He's probably got a fast mind.
It's a cute little story about how like this blue little hedgehog is alone in the world and he just wants to make a friend.
Oh, and he finds his friends.
Jim Carrey is hella Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Good in a good way or a bad way?
Absolutely brilliant.
All right. I saw a trailer for Sonic 2, and I was like, if that's what he's like in the first movie, that's probably great.
Yeah, so in the first movie, it's like the beginnings of Robotnik, so he's not bald yet, and his mustache isn't huge.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. I think it's such a fun little film. It's not going to like blow your mind, but as a kid's movie,
yeah,
I see the appeal. All
right.
And they even throw in the stinger for the sequel very early. Like, Tail shows up at the end of the movie.
Oh.
Like, after the credits, but, like, he's there. He's like, oh, my God, Sonic is here. They got the rings. They do everything. They do all the sounds. Sonic goes into the ball. Nice. Robotnik has a ship.
Do they have, like, ring teleporters?
Chaos
Emeralds?
No, that's a sequel. Okay. That's a sequel. Right. But they do have ring teleporters.
Oh, that's cool.
Do
they free the Chow Chows or whatever the...
No, that's way later on.
Right.
They do the Flash thing, you know, and Sonic, obviously Sonic's favorite comic is the Flash.
Yeah, of course.
So he's, they play with his speed. Like sometimes, obviously Sonic is fast, but there are moments where it's just like, he's too fast.
Okay.
Like, how is he this fast?
And then he hits some spikes and he loses all his rings.
No, but they do that something similar where he loses all his rings.
Oh, no.
And it's the classic sound effect.
Okay.
Only he does the thing you can't do. He picks them all up immediately.
Oh, my God.
Because he's Sonic.
Because he's a cheater.
Yeah. So, no, it's a good film. I liked it a lot. It's pretty cool. I really want to watch the second one now.
Okay.
And then I forgot that this was on my list and that I came out at the end of last year. But I this other game that I really love, The Witcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I consume more Witcher content.
So you play Gwent.
I watched The Witcher season 2 on Netflix.
Okay.
This is a good show. I don't know why I've been waiting so long to watch this. Season 2 is way easier.
Is it a good show or is Henry Cavill just hot?
It's really good.
Okay.
It's actually way easier to follow than the first show, because I don't know if you remember the first one.
I didn't watch it.
Oh.
I think we watched the first episode or two, but I didn't continue.
Okay, the first show is like, it's not told in chronological order, right?
Oh, okay.
Like, it's told in bits and pieces from all over the timeline, mm-hmm. and it's up to you to make it out. Season two starts up exactly where season one leaves off, except it just flows like one coherent story.
Straight line.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, oh, yeah, the first one was an anthology series, but it also still kind of had a through line, but it just was never told in one easy, consumable way or digestible way, which two is pretty cool. I'm like two episodes in, digging it. I'm loving it. It's very good. Mm-hmm. I'll finish it for next week, I think. I hope.
Oh, you're not done it yet?
No. I'm like, yeah, two episodes in. So, like, I didn't have much time to do much else because it was Easter weekend and what did I do on the weekend? I don't know. Family stuff. I bought a car.
Oh.
And then.
Fancy.
All I did was research all the fucking bolt-on upgrades I want to do.
So wide body kit when?
No.
Dude, what the fuck?
That's not bolt-on.
Okay, just got to take some bolts off so you can bolt it on.
No, because that you have to cut your car.
Okay, cut it. Cut it and then bolt it on.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. So I'm talking exhaust, suspension, rims and tires.
Yeah.
Maybe headers. I don't know.
Okay, the real question is, since you're going JDM,
yeah,
how much camber are we talking about?
Zero.
Dude.
Zero.
You got to flare out those wheels. That's all the cool kids are doing.
But I want to take it to the track.
Yeah, that's fine. They'll drive like shit, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the track.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So then I looked that up, and yeah, a lot of interesting things I need to do still. Expensive? Yeah, it's expensive, absolutely. I mean, is it as expensive as... It's not as expensive as you think. Mm-hmm. Okay, like an exhaust, I don't know, $900. Is that that's expensive.
Okay.
I've spent more on other things, let's be real.
Yeah, of course. You spent more on robots.
Yeah. See, when I think about toy collecting, I'm like, what a fucking insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want quality though, you gotta pay.
But then I'm also like, were video games really the best value that I've been spending on? Because like I think about it now and I'm like, yeah, maybe I have put in a lot of time.
Yeah.
But, like, buying games, has that really been the best use of my money in terms of, like, overall enjoyment, considering what I have and what I've gotten out of it? I'm like, I'm starting to think that, no, it's not.
Hmm.
I kind of fucked up.
I don't know if you had, like, the thing is, like, the floor to car modding is a lot higher than the floor to buying a PlayStation. Right? Like, it's only in, like, recent years that you have had the capital in order to partake in car.
No, because I did the math and I was like, if I just stop buying like from September to December every mm-hmm. year, it's always the same story. It's like yeah. there's like a billion games come out. There's a console. You add all that up, I could have probably had a cool car in high school, right? Like I probably could have done it.
Maybe.
Obviously, I didn't because we know what I did instead. Like, yeah. I bought games.
Yeah.
Right?
And you had a toy YouTube channel.
Yeah. And I'm like, was that really? And like, it made me get, I started to question. I'm like, well, obviously, did I enjoy it at the time? Obviously, I did.
Yeah.
Do I regret it? No. But it just made me think like, I could have probably done cooler things or not.
Would they have been cooler to you at the time?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Because now when I look back, it's like, yeah, I played games. Big deal. Big whoop. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you modded your car and you look back, it's like, what are you doing with that?
At least I would have done something different. Like I wouldn't have just sat in my room, right? But that's where I'm at. Like, and then it made me start thinking, like, maybe I should just give it all up, just get out, cold turkey, just like go, just
say goodbye. Do you have the willpower?
I think so. You, honestly, I have a feeling that like the minute I move out of this place, I probably will drop almost everything.
No. All right.
Just because it'll probably be easier to just, if you have to pack shit up and, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like, I probably won't give it all up, but I definitely think it will be a severe reduction in everything.
You have more avenues now. You're making more money. You can do more stuff.
Yeah. But we'll see. It was just one of those things. Anyways. I saw some exhausts. Dual? I may have placed an order.
Dual?
The
triple?
Car, no.
Quadruple?
No. Only dual.
Okay.
Dual. But yeah, pretty cool.
Whistle tips?
No. Absolutely not.
Why not, dude?
Absolutely not. No, those thank
whistle.
You.
I can weld some metal in there for you. You know?
You, oh yeah, you can weld.
Yeah. Well, I know to solder. It's basically the same thing. It's the same thing.
No way. Right? What are you gonna weld?
I don't know.
No. No.
I'll grab a welding kit. I don't know.
No. But yeah, cool. Yeah, that's more or less my week.
Okay. I continued on with the Ninja Gaiden collection, and I got some last things to say.
Let me guess. These games are awesome.
Hey, dude, these games are great. These games are fantastic. Highly recommended. Everybody should buy them. I've been playing more Ninja Gaiden 3, and I think I've beat that game now maybe like 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
Because you can go back.
You mean in just this collection?
In just this collection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think I got to say that even though Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge is kind of regarded as the worst of the three.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. That game by far has the best combat. And I think where it falls short is the bosses. There is a lot more emphasis on...
Ooh, that's a tough one to say.
Yeah, is on not button mashing. Huh. Right? Because the majority of a level is not bosses.
Yeah.
Right? And you get to the end and then like the final boss is annoying. Right? And you're like, okay, it's like this, it's a fucking plane. It's dropping bombs on me. You got hit with arrows. Like, this sucks. This one's just really hard and there's like a gimmick to it I got to figure out.
I see.
And whatever. But everything leading up to that, combat-wise, is like 10 out of 10. Like, that shit's awesome. They have the steel-on-bone mechanic where enemies will do a unblockable attack that gives you like a visual cue where their hands glow red. And if you dodge out of the way or if you hit them with a heavy attack before it pops off, you get an instant kill. And then it like zooms in, you like cleave them in half, and then you can chain that depending on the level of your weapon. And that combined with the fact that they don't let you just like air juggle any enemy anymore, so you can't just Azuna drop your way through the whole game with like infinity iframes.
Yeah.
It really rewards less smashing and more skillful play. And going back to the older stuff, there's so many ways I can get through Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2 that are just like cheese. Right. And that's not to say that Ninja Gaiden 3 doesn't have cheese, because especially when you get to a lot of the challenge missions and you're fighting like 3 bosses at the same time, like you pick the scythe and you do the 360 heavy attack, and that whole attack for its whole duration has iframes. Wow. And so you just cheese that shit all day because you're not going to beat it otherwise.
Because
it's so ludicrously difficult. Yeah. And you just don't have the tools to deal with that many bosses at the same time. Mm-hmm. You kind of got to cheese the cheese. But I keep going back to Ninja Gaiden 3 because I have the most fun with it and doing ninja trials and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been playing through like Ninja Gaiden 2, Ninja Gaiden 1 stuff, and those are like nostalgia trips. And playing on harder difficulties, a lot of it is just like enemies hit harder and you do less damage, and then they add harder enemies in earlier type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But the one thing I forgot in Ninja Gaiden 1 is that they just like change models of certain characters, of certain like fodder enemies. So if you play on hard or very hard, the regular soldiers you get in normal, they turn into like android things in hard, and like they're just immune to shurikens. So you can't do like animation interrupting shurikens on and stuff. And it just like adds that level of complexity rather than just, it's just more damage. It's here's like a different way you have to approach the situation, and that's pretty interesting. I'm not good enough to get through Master Ninja. That shit's so fucking hard.
On all of them or just 3?
On any of them.
Oh, okay.
It's so fucking hard. Oh, and 3, it has easy, normal, hard, Master Ninja, and then they even added another one for like masters of the game called Ultimate Ninja.
Oh, wow.
And that one's just out of control. I don't know how the fuck anybody does that. So yeah, I'm just having a fucking great time playing those games, and
mm-hmm.
it's been stopping me from playing new games because I keep going back and having a lot of fun with them.
You did this to yourself.
I did, and I enjoyed it. It's great. I think the other game I did get some time to play was Demon's Tilt.
This is the pinball one.
This is pinball. So Demon's Tilt is developed by this guy, Wiznoir.
What?
Yeah, Adam Fernando.
That's not
Yeah, his username is like Wiznoir.
Oh, it's an indie pinball game?
Yeah, it's an indie pinball game. And the game is kind of advertised as a pinball shoot 'em up.
Yep.
In a certain way.
Oh my god, this game is $20?
Yeah, Yeah, so I got the a different version. I got like the physical version, so it's a bit, a little bit more.
$35
Yeah, but it is it's a pinball game. They have a very elaborate board, and it is kind of an homage to the old TurboGrafx-16 pinball games, which
What do you mean an homage? This game does not look like it was on TurboGrafx.
No, it was. It wasn't on TurboGrafx, but there were games like Alien Crush and stuff like that that took the idea of pinball and added more video game elements. So you're like defeating mobs in those games, and like there's enemies that fly around the board and shit that can't happen on a real pinball board, right?
Yeah.
So in this game, it's like one occult style board, but there's three levels to it. So there's the bottom level where there's like a blacksmithing hammer, which can up your ball multiplier. And there's like enemies that you can defeat, like little armies and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the middle version has like a maiden's head, which starts like rituals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the top end is like where all the bosses are. So there's like a snake head that you can hit. There's a lion that's like trapped behind a metal mask, and you can do a bunch of stuff. And then depending on what parts of the board you interact with, it unlocks different challenges for you to do to get more multipliers. But at the end of the day, it's just like a more involved pinball game.
Yeah, you got this on PlayStation?
Yeah, PlayStation 4. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know. This is definitely a hard recommend because it's just pinball.
Yeah, I was trying to look at the videos. Like, it looks like pinball.
Yeah, it's just pinball, right? And there's a lot of wild shit that happens. Like, it's a visual experience. But if you don't like pinball, I can't really recommend it to you. It's just like pinball on crack. So I don't really know what else I can say there. So it's the one board, and then depending on what difficulty you pick, certain parts of the board changes.
Yeah.
So if you pick the regular board, the bottom row is a bit more lenient on like the gutters and stuff that pinball machines have, where it's like, oh, you went too far to the left, so it's just an automatic ball lost.
Yeah.
But that stuff comes back if you pick the hard one, and they have like a hardcore mode where it's you get one ball. And you have to get as many points on the hard board with one ball as you can.
Yeah.
It's a very simple game. It's nothing too crazy, but I like pinball and I enjoy it. It's got a killer soundtrack. It's pretty good.
For sure.
It's pretty good. And then the last two things I did was anime. So we got our letter in yesterday.
That's not anime.
Huh?
That's not anime.
No, the last two things I did were anime or anime related.
Teppu's anime?
Teppu's manga, but I did an anime as well.
Oh, okay.
Right. So we got that letter from Joseph, and he was talking about that Super Eye Patrol video. I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, you know what? I'll read Teppu. I'll go. So I read Teppu. It's only 33 chapters.
Yep.
I finished it. It's it's kind of exactly what I wanted, almost. It's a MMA manga. It's about this high schooler, a freshman, Natsuo Ishido. She's a natural talent. Like, everything she does is easy to her.
Yeah.
So she makes the volleyball team with no practice. She can do any sport. She did karate before, and she's just kind of arrogant.
Yeah.
She takes her natural talent, and then she has to kind of like stay by herself because she's kind of ostracized from everybody else who has to practice, and they're all jealous of her for being able to do the things that they can do without even trying, right? And so that kind of ostracizes her, and it makes her like a rebel almost, like anti-establishment. But after volleyball practice one day, she meets this one girl, Yuzuko Mawatari. She starts a MMA club. Her parents used to live in South America, in Brazil. And down there, she had learned mixed martial arts with her friend, and they moved back to Japan. And this was the first time that her natural talents were not enough to let her crush somebody after like the first try.
Okay.
And she becomes obsessed with martial arts.
Yeah.
And the story kind of comes down to like, if you really want to simplify it, it's talent versus tenacity. Like, what wins out? Is practicing every single day, can that beat talent, right?
Interesting. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Can you overcome hard work with just being naturally good at something, right? And where's the line there? And this is really interesting because Natsuo, in this case, she's the main character of the show.
Yeah.
But she is not the hero in any sense. She kind of gets her rocks off on making people feel inferior to her. So her whole goal through this thing is not to like beat Yuzuko because we're going to have a good match and whatever. And it's the shonen thing, right? It's because she's the villain and she wants to make her feel miserable and make her feel shitty about losing, right? And she wants to feel superior to the person that beat her.
Yeah.
It's a really good story. I really like the unique take on kind of switching up who you're focusing on, right? Because at the end of the day, you kind of get like that these are two real life people, right? And
yeah,
just because one is a shonen protagonist doesn't mean that they're any less real than the villain.
Yeah.
And it also gives you a different perspective on how scary shonen protagonists are in terms of like the traditional, I'm going to work my ass off, the Japanese way, I'm going to study, I'm going to do all this stuff. And when you come face to face in the manga with not Yuzuko,
yeah,
you're like, oh shit, this girl's a fucking monster, right? And she's kind of just as horrific, if not more, as the main character, even though the main character is the villain. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty interesting manga. I think I would recommend it.
Yeah.
If you like fighting manga, it does also take into consideration a lot of the female differences in sports. So when joins a gym, she obviously joins a female league and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the big things is that Yuzuko's friend, who she met in Brazil, defeats a man in MMA. And they're like, holy fuck, that's crazy. And they do spend a little bit of time talking about like the training differences between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big section on like menstrual cramps and stuff.
Yep.
So if that comes in, like just take a rest. Don't try to work out through the menstrual cramps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was just kind of hooked from chapter one. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I don't think there's an anime at all. But if you can find the manga, I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. And that one's cool.
Yeah. And then the last one I did is I watched two episodes of Therma Roma.
Oh, the bathhouse.
Yeah. So this is a Netflix anime. It is based on a manga series by Mari Yamazaki.
Mm.
And it takes place in ancient Rome. So there's this kid, Lucius. He's the father, or the son, sorry, to these great bathhouse architects, like generations, grandfather, dad, him. And he kind of just loves bathhouses. He wants to create places where the Romans can come and relax after war, and that creates strength within the ranks of the Roman Empire and stuff like that. And one day when he's older and he actually became an architect, he's chilling in a bath because he's out of ideas, right? His ideas are too kind of antiquated for modern day Rome, and he gets fired from his like place of work.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like mulling it over with his friend. He goes to a bathhouse to just like, what can I do to revitalize bathhouses in Rome? And he goes underwater to think. And while he's underwater, he finds a big hole in the bathtub.
Okay.
And he gets sucked in. And then when he comes...
Wait, hold on. There's a hole in the bathtub?
Yeah, like in...
But the water doesn't go down through
it. So that's like the supernatural. This is the isekai.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah. So he gets pulled in with a indescribable force of suction.
Fair enough. All right.
Can't defeat it. And when he gets sucked in, he reappears in modern day Japan. And in a modern day Japan bathhouse.
So it goes from Rome to modern day Japan?
Yeah. From ancient Rome to modern day Japan. And when he comes out, he starts discovering Japanese bathhouse culture. And he sees these ideas, these modern day inventions, and then he takes them back to Rome.
Oh, he can go back and forth.
Oh, he can go back and forth, baby.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, all right.
So I've only just started it. I've watched the first two episodes. And the first episode is kind of just like setting up Lucius as a character. And then the second episode is, okay, now we're getting into Roman and Japanese bathhouse culture.
Okay.
And how it's similar and different and whatever.
Okay.
This show is hilarious. Is pretty funny.
All right.
I like it.
All right.
It's such a very niche historical lens to look at, right?
Okay.
Like when you think of like a Japanese bathhouse, you're just like, okay, it's old men taking a bath in a public space.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
But the way this show and this, I would assume the manga kind of romanticizes it, is very cool. And it makes me want to go to like a Japanese bathhouse and like see what that experience is like. And so the one thing I really like about this show is actually at the end. So just before the credits, they actually have like a little 5-minute segment with the author of the manga, with Mari, and she goes to Japanese bathhouses around Japan and learns the different ways different regions set up their bathhouses. So there's like one place where they have like a natural hot spring, and the water is actually scalding hot coming out of the ground, and in order to cool it, you could throw cold water in it, right? But it dilutes all the natural minerals that are within the groundwater. So what do they do in this town? They use these boards to kind of scoop up the water, splash it up, and like aerate it almost.
Okay.
And that whole process is like a 15-minute process where you're just squatting, flipping water around. And it's like a big-ass workout.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like one of the cultural things that you do in this town.
Yeah.
And you just learn like this really specific piece of culture from both Rome and Japan, and it's pretty fun.
So do they discuss how he can talk Japanese?
He doesn't talk Japanese.
So he just has to look?
So he looks around, talks in Roman, and then he's like...
Wait, when you say Roman, what am I hearing?
You're hearing like butchered Italian.
Okay. Okay.
Right? And it's actually pretty funny because when he goes there, he's like, who are all these flat-faced people?
Oh boy.
They must be slaves. Right? And so he thinks he's in like a slave bathhouse.
Yeah.
And they do like a kind of an interesting thing in the second episode. And in order to stop him from just walking out into modern day Japan.
Yeah.
So he's got no clothes, right?
Because he's in a bath.
So he's naked. And the thing is that when he walks out naked.
But wait, why would he care? It's ancient Rome.
Exactly. So when they had clothes in ancient Rome.
Yeah, dude. But
they were fully covered. They weren't walking around in the nude.
I don't know. With all those sculptures of like all their dicks hanging out.
Yeah, that's you got to appreciate the body.
Exactly. So I'm sure he doesn't like, I'm sure they clothe themselves to protect themselves from the elements, but I don't think they care about being naked.
No, they cared about fashion and stuff. There was a time and place to be nude.
Okay.
Right. They were one of the greatest civilized cultures in history.
Yeah, one of the greatest naked civilized cultures. Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and so what happens is that he goes outside. And he sees like a car drive by and he has no fucking idea what it is. And he thinks that like this nation has just instantaneously taken over Rome. Right? And he's like, where am I? What happened? Like, we got to get whatever. And so he smells the exhaust fumes from a car and he gets like nauseous and he goes back into the bathhouse.
Oh, so he's just a little bitch.
Yeah. So like pollution.
Oh, wow.
Pollution kept him in the bathhouse. And so it kind of like, I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, he's going to wander outside.
He's got to leave at some point. Yeah, he's got to go to like a home department store.
Yeah. So in like the second episode, he learns a couple things. He has like the woven baskets that you keep all your clothes in. The fruit milk that Japanese people apparently have after a nice bath.
Yep.
The little like curtains that you can go in,
yep,
like those things, and like the big murals that are inside the bathhouses, like so,
yeah,
Mount Fuji and stuff.
So
he takes all that stuff back to Rome.
Oh, and then, he just takes it.
Oh, he doesn't take. He takes the ideas. Oh, okay. In his head.
Like what the fuck?
Yeah, no, he takes
like
the ideas.
He's dumping this down the.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he takes the ideas in his head and then he modernizes it.
Okay.
Or he demodernizes it for Rome.
Wow. So this whole anime is about like if Japan could go back and erase Italian culture. Is that all you're trying to tell me?
Like, they could influence it. I can't like influence a very specific
influence
version.
But what they're trying to say is like, listen, your ancient times is inferior to us. So
maybe, okay. Maybe, but it's modern day, right? So yeah. I think it doesn't come off as like the Japanese modern bathhouses are the best, baby.
But you know, right. That's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's
it really
message.
Does come off as like this author does have a love for Italian history.
Yeah.
And then she kind of thought that like the bathhouse culture now and the bathhouse culture in ancient Rome were kind of similar. And so I can make something funny off of that.
Now, is it always the same bathhouse that he warps into?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because the next episode that I have to watch, he has to make an outdoor bathhouse.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he brings outdoor bathing. And so, you know, the one in Japan with all the monkeys that like
bathe. Yeah.
So that stuff is an influence. I think a later episode I saw is that he has to make a bathhouse for the emperor. So I would assume that he goes into like Japanese royalty and sees how that works and stuff. So
now I'm assuming these bathhouses that he hops into, they're real? Like they're...
They're based on real.
Okay. But are they actually the real places? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if they're like, this. Here's this place. Because they didn't mention like, this is the bathhouse and got whatever.
It. Okay.
They only mention a place when they have the little like after credits scene.
I see.
Talking okay. about like the history of Japanese hot springs and stuff like that.
Right. Okay, cool.
The one thing that I will say though is like, I'm very glad that this show isn't really about the visual feast that you get.
It is. Why? Is it ugly?
Because hot damn, this is... some like berserk levels of 3D.
Is it that bad?
There are some sections.
Wait, 3D?
There's a lot of 3D
for this comedy.
Yeah, for this comedy.
Wow. Okay.
And there's a lot of situations where you'll get like, so that part where he falls into the hole and he gets transferred, there's like a little like, oh no, I don't know where I'm going, like yeah. type of scene. That whole scene, that model is 3D.
Oh, that's
and
a
it's
shame.
Dog shit. Oh my god.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So, but this. This series won the short story award at the Tezuka Osamu Cultural Festival. So it's an award-winning show, or manga at least.
Why I got to do them dirty like that?
I know. Why did they have to do them dirty like that? For sure. 100%. 100%. And I think there were two live-action film adaptions.
Of this?
In Japan, yeah. One in 2012 and one in 2014.
Damn.
So... maybe you want to watch a live action one instead. I don't know.
Talk about some shitty content.
Why can't they just get Studio Wit to do it? What the fuck?
Wow.
But it is really cool to see two cultures who you would think are kind of drastically different kind of overlap in really weird ways.
Yeah.
And it's a very charming show, to say the least.
I would love to know if they'd had like a Roman historian consultant on this or if it's just because... the author has a background in or yeah, they're just maybe. Super interested.
Maybe. Cause I know like what JoJo's influenced by Italian sculptures and stuff like that. And I don't know if they have anybody who helps him, but he does a shit ton of research.
Like, yeah. Like it's his own passion. For
yeah.
That
it's his
kind
own
of stuff.
Passion for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but
interesting.
I really like it. It's really good. And it's like completely left field from anything I've watched recently.
Yeah. Cool.
Highly recommended.
So no Tiger and Bunny for you, huh?
I haven't watched Tiger and Bunny yet. And I'm so far removed from Tiger and Bunny. I don't know if I remember really.
It's 10 years.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years.
So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
You don't remember Good Luck Mode?
Honestly?
Wow.
No.
Get out of here.
It sounds familiar.
Wow. You don't know Good Luck Mode?
I've seen it. I just don't remember it.
Oh, my.
We watched this. We have old episodes of us watching the podcast, dude. God. I just don't remember.
That's a shame. That's a shame. But what are you going to do?
Oh, well.
You even went to watch the movie, but okay.
Maybe I'll go watch the movie then.
All right.
So, yeah, but that's been my week.
Cool.
In terms of nerdy shit.
Nerdy shit. Because there's non-nerdy
shit. I don't know. I went into a deep dive about the Pareto principle.
Is that not equally as dorky?
I guess. It's. But I don't know if...
Some would say that's even more.
I don't know if we can, like... I don't know what there is to talk about it. Like, it's the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
Or, like, 20%... apparently, it's even worse now. It's like the square root of X in a creative thing produce over 50% of the output in it. So, like... the square root of all professors writing scientific papers produce more than 50% of all scientific papers and stuff like that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Fair enough. And it happens in everything. It happens in nature. Like the square root of all trees get X amount of nutrients. The square root of all goals scored in hockey are done by, the square root of all players score the over 50% of all goals in hockey. And it's like this weird natural law where it's the rich get richer and it happens in everything.
Absolutely.
Nobody knows how to stop it. And
why do we need to stop it?
That was a pretty interesting
embrace one. It.
I think, okay, I'll give like a little recommendation. If look for our listeners, look up a Malcolm Gladwell talk about a guy called Howard Moskowitz.
Okay.
He is this, he was like, was it psychophysics or something? He was like a big smart dude, PhD, and he was hired by Pepsi to create the best Pepsi.
Mm.
And his takeaway was that there is no good best Pepsi. There are only the best Pepsis.
Wow.
Right. And he took this on the road, and this was like in the 70s, and he realized that like consumers are not rational actors.
Okay.
Because they don't know what they want in a majority of the cases. And so in this case, he helped Prego. He reinvented pasta sauces.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
what he found is that there is no best pasta sauce. There are only best pasta sauces.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three types of pasta sauce consumers. There is original, mild, right? Spicy consumer. Mm-hmm. And there's extra chunky consumer.
Mm-hmm.
But when he figured this out, zero companies were making extra chunky pasta sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know, like consumers didn't know to ask for it because it didn't exist. And they didn't know it could exist.
Fair enough.
And it's like a really interesting talk about like group psychology and like creatives versus regular people and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I've been doing.
Absolutely. That's really cool. Interesting. I would challenge that. Really? There's no best Pepsi. There is.
What is it?
Coke.
Ooh.
That's the end of the show. See you next week.
Ah, damn.